You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Wendy. I know what you're thinking. The man said there is a standard. Damn it, I went out and got a tie every time I show up on First Take, and he doesn't have a tie today. I've got a tie on. Legs got a tie on. What the hell is up with Stephen A. Smith? Well, there's two answers to that question. Number one, there's levels to this. It's First Take, baby. I set the stage, but you understand what I'm saying? Not necessarily meet him. And number two, the playoffs begins, which means I'll be on the air tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Which means more is to come. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. First Takes in the house. Let's rock.
Stephen A., how could you start a Friday by lying to the American people? I set the standard. You're just trying to nip at my heels.
Whatever.
I mean.
No, I'm not even worried about it. By the way, didn't you wear that color earlier this week? Didn't you wear that same color earlier this week? I'm just asking.
I have no idea. Stephen A., we do this show year-round, 5 days a week. I do not remember what I wore yesterday.
You didn't have an idea. That's the difference. I know what I wear.
You look amazing, Molly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's great to have you, Tim Legler. Great to have you in Seaport, where we host where we host this show Seaport Studios. Brian Windhorst, how we doing, my man?
I'm very excited because we're finally here. We finally got the playoffs and Stephen A. on countdown. I know I'm watching this weekend.
Yeah. I got to admit, Brian does look dapper. He looks like a politician. Looks like a politician.
Steve, you feeling good this morning?
I'm feeling very good.
How we doing?
I'm ready to roll.
Good?
I'm with my boys. I'm good. Let's roll.
All right. Let's get into it. The Lakers and Nuggets open their playoff rematch Saturday night. These teams have a recent history in the playoffs, with the Lakers beating the Nuggets in the conference finals on their way to the title in 2020, while Denver swept LA last year en route to its title. But LeBron believes whatever happened in the past has no bearing on the team's first round series. King James is at the mic.
You put a little bit too much more emphasis on it. This is our first round matchup, and I mean, we look forward to the postseason, but I haven't been like looking forward to the rematch. It shouldn't be personal at all. I think, you know, you allow yourself to get away from the game plan when you make it too personal. You know, we have a game plan, you go out there and execute it, and you live with the results. I've been in the postseason way too long in my career to know that you don't get too high off of game one or get too high over whoever the matchup is. You got to just stay even keeled.
All right, SA, do you like, love, or hate LeBron downplaying the rematch versus Denver?
Well, I hate it. That's my personal opinion. I'm not blaming him for it. He can't be worried about what the public thinks, what I think, what anybody thinks. He's trying to win the championship, and I respect that. But this is what LeBron James does. You know, he wants you to rely strictly on the game, right? But on far too many occasions when the theater of competition takes fold, he doesn't want to be a participant in that. Meaning that you somebody, you talking smack to him, you coming at him and what have you. He doesn't feed into that. One of the reasons we loved when Lance Stephenson blew in his air legs and Wendy is because we knew that obviously he was the superior player. He was playing on a superior team. The Indiana Pacers were trying to antagonize him, and we knew that LeBron James was going to respond to it. We could just tell, and we were good with that. In this particular instance, it's a different animal. You ain't the giant, okay? You're supposed to be the giant slayer. The Giants are the Denver Nuggets, the reigning defending NBA champions, who, by the way, swept you last year, four straight in the Western Conference Finals, who, by the way, have beaten you eight straight. And, oh, by the way, the last three times y'all played against one another in this season, okay, opening night, it was their ring ceremony, so they watched it. They let you watch them get their rings. Then they went out there and took you out. The second go-round, they took you out when Kobe's statue was unveiled. And the third time they took you out was when LeBron James dropped 40,000 points for his career. Okay? Those are the three nights that the Lakers obviously were looking forward to celebrating, and it was ruined by the Denver Nuggets. So you would think that when you've got that going up against you, you raise up and you're like, yeah, I need to take this personal. Nothing else has worked. Being calm hasn't worked. Being even keel hasn't worked. Just preparing myself as I always do hasn't worked. Something or the normal procedures that works against everybody else hasn't worked for me against this particular squad, the Denver Nuggets. And still, we hear what LeBron James says. So again, I understand it. You understand he's the player, not me, and he can't be worried about what other people are thinking. But if you're a spectator, it does raise the ante a bit if you listen to LeBron James, like, they don't whip their ass about 8 straight times. I'm sick of these dudes. I want this bad, and I hope that we're ready. It would have been nice to hear the quote-unquote king embrace that kind of competition like kings are supposed to do.
Well, look, Stephen A., look, everybody knows I'm far from any sort of LeBron apologist or anything like that. In fact, people that love LeBron think it's the other way. I pride myself on not having an agenda. Just come out, give my honest opinion. Here's the thing. When I first heard it, and then I read it again, because I wanted to make sure I got it all, because sometimes I look for little subtle things in something somebody might say, I thought, you know what, this isn't that bad. This is nothing inflammatory where I'm going to go in on him to think he was coming off soft or weak in this matchup, and I wanted to hear more about it. I really didn't think there was much to it, and here's why. Bottom line is they didn't know they were going to get Denver. So it's easy to sit here and say, hey, man, they swept us last year. This is the team. We should be thinking about them all year. The bottom line is the Lakers were trying to survive. They were just trying to get into the play-in, survive the play-in. We didn't know they were going to get Denver until right the last couple days of the season. Now the matchup is here. Okay, so now you know you're going to get the Nuggets. So could he have said something, Stephen A., along the lines of what you're intimating? Yeah, it probably would have been better to hear words like confident. We're confident this time around. Refer to what's happened here in recent history. Nothing wrong with referring to getting swept last year. Hey, man, they swept us last year. Like, we remember that. We're confident this time around. Say things like, we know you got to go through this team to come out of the Western Conference. They are on top of the mountain right now. So we're going to get them now. Let's get them now. Like, things like that, I think, is what you're saying. I completely agree. That kind of gives an air of, we know we're going into this against a top team. You give them their due respect. But at the same time, you portray an air of confidence that you think things are going to be different this time around. I think that's what you're saying, and I would agree with you on that. And let me ask you guys both something. Do you think part of the reason that LeBron like can't go more in is because, man, the Nuggets are a bunch of good dudes. They don't have a Lance Stephenson. They don't have a dude that's poking LeBron James and talking to him. They don't have a Dylan Brooks. They don't have a guy like that. It's just a bunch of good dudes, including their best player. They're just quiet. They're not arrogant. They show up and do their business and almost feel like something like that injected into this might give the Lakers a little bit more of an edge, a little bit more of that, of what you're talking about, Stephen A., that would come out of LeBron's mouth.
Legs, I don't find Jamal Murray to be quiet. I mean, that brother talk now. I mean, he go out and back it up, but when he giving it to you, he giving it to you, and he lets you know he's giving it to you. I've seen him do that to the Lakers. Am I right, Wendy?
Yeah, and Aaron Gordon does it, and Michael Malone is not afraid to talk trash. I would have found it more entertaining for LeBron to do a little WWE action here and, you know, really gotten into it and said, you know, sort of embraced being the underdog and, you know, talked about how, oh, they expect to beat us. Well, they got to come do it and everything. But the thing about it is he's not comfortable being an underdog. It's not something he's done very often in his career. And he really doesn't like it when a team has his number. I mean, he's changed teams in the past a couple of times when he's felt another team has his number. When the Celtics had his number, he went to Miami. When the Warriors had his number, he went to LA. The Nuggets have had the Lakers' number. What's his move? He doesn't really have a move, and that's why I think he's playing it a little bit meek. Look, He's 15-1 in his career in first round playoff series. I'm going to say that again. He's 15-1 when he's made it into the first round of the playoffs. He has owned that round. He is not used to having the idea of being underdog. Even last year when they went into that series with Memphis, they had a lot of confidence in that series. You could see by the way they approached it. That is clearly not the case here. You can tell by those comments, LeBron does not want to build it up. Stephen A., you came on this show yesterday and built this up as a possible legacy-defining opportunity for LeBron. Pull this upset, and it's a feather in that cap that improves his overall legacy. LeBron can see the lay of the land. He doesn't want that because he knows how much of an underdog they are. And so even though he didn't articulate those words, the way he went about it made that clear.
So, in other words, you're trying to tell me that he's not that confident they're going to pull it off. And so he tries to keep his mouth shut.
Well, you decide what you think. Did that sound like a confident guy to you, those comments? It didn't sound like one to me.
He doesn't sound that confident. He doesn't sound that confident. You know, he's not as confident as you. You know what I'm saying? You wearing orange and blue. You know what time it is. You know what time. You know what's going on this.
Yeah, well, I think Denver's going to win. I think I wouldn't be confident if I were him either.
You need to be. The way he's been playing, the way Anthony Davis has been playing, you need to be. Yeah, I mean, without that, how are you going to have a chance?
I do think sometimes LeBron can't win. I do kind of feel like this is because if he came out and went in too far, I think people then would pick it apart because he's going up against a team that's clearly superior and he's not going to be able to back it up. So I feel like in some ways he can't win. I didn't think he sounded weak or resigned to losing. I don't think he sounded that way. I just think he was being honest. Like, look, you guys act like I've been thinking about Denver this whole time. I was just trying to get out of the play-in first. We didn't even know we were going to get Denver. Now it's here. Okay, now I've thought about it. They got us last year. They've had our number lately. I'm confident this time's going to be different. I think that would have been enough to suffice the confidence that you need to portray.
He ain't blaming. Nobody's blaming him. Nobody's saying he's done anything wrong. He doesn't owe us anything. I'm just simply saying that when you're watching competition and you're looking forward to encounters that are imminent and about to unfold, there are certain things that you want to see because it raises the ante a little bit for all of us. And that is not something he gave us. And that's that.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's very simple. He's not trying to give bulletin board material.
Right.
He knows how hard this is going to be.
Definitely.
So trying to play it a little low key. All right, let's keep it rolling here, guys. As for another first round matchup. Oh, Steve, you're fired up today. The Phoenix Suns are set to face Ant Edwards and the Timberwolves. While the Wolves have home court advantage throughout the series, the Suns swept Minnesota in the regular season. Kevin Durant already has two titles, both coming with the Golden State Warriors, and he won finals MVP in both of those series. His 29.4 playoff points per game also ranks fourth highest in NBA history. Okay, Stephen A., coming back to you. What's on the line for KD versus Minnesota?
Well, I think that, you know, if we're going to talk about, listen, LeBron's legacy is etched in stone. Four championships, four league MVPs, and in this 21st season, approaching 40 years of age, look at how he's looked on the basketball court. Kevin Durant's a few years younger, averaged over 27 a game, has looked spectacular this year, but Kevin Durant has a different story, guys. He hasn't been out of the second round since departing from Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. That's an entirely different animal. That's an entirely different narrative that we have to be talking about here. Someone that great that has had Kyrie Irving and James Harden as his teammates, that now has Devin Booker and Bradley Beal as his teammates, that once had Russell Westbrook and others as his teammates. I mean, since you departed from Steph Curry and Golden State, after claiming that you wanted to go there to begin with because you just wanted to play the right way, you just want to hoop, that's all you cared about, well, you were in a pristine situation where you'd still be winning championships if you had stayed there, but you passed that up. It's been a long, long time since Kevin Durant has been in the conference finals. And I'm telling you right now, you can't be in this situation and go out there and lose in the first round. If that happens, that is not good. There's no question about it. And we talk, it's not an accident that as great as he is, as marvelous of a player as he is, we don't talk about him nearly as much as we should. And we damn sure don't talk about him nearly as much as we used to because the results haven't been there. And the thing about it that's really, really alarming is that you get the impression No matter how LeBron tries to downplay stuff that LeBron wants to be talked about, LeBron wants to be to the center of attention. He wants to be that dude that is the marquee. And whereas when you look at Kevin Durant in Phoenix, you know, I don't know this to be true, but it definitely looks a certain way. It almost looks like the less we talk about him, the happier he is. He just wants to fly under the radar and hoop. But in the end, guess what? You know what? This is the surefire best way for us not to talk about you. If your ass is at home when it really, really counts because somebody bounced you out of there. And that has been the case for him since he's departed from Golden State. I don't blame him for the series against Milwaukee when Kyrie got hurt because I thought they could have won it all then. And Kevin Durant was absolutely sensational. But other than that, it's been rough. There's no way around it.
Stephen A., you and I have been here before. This is one of those triggering conversations where you and I are just never going to see eye to eye.
Okay.
Because I don't think Kevin Durant needs anything else in his career. Does he want it? Do we want it? Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't go to Brooklyn unless he wanted it. But he's a two-time finals MVP. And I I'm said this before, and here we go. I absolutely reject the premise on its face that the Warriors win, especially the 17 title without him. The idea that he wasn't a driver in that is just absolutely patently unfair to him.
Who said that?
The MVP of the finals. Many
people
said that.
Nobody
said
that.
Not you.
Nobody.
I agree. Not
okay,
you.
Yeah.
Other colleagues in our industry have downplayed that final.
I know he's the best player on that team.
I just won't stand for it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Also, his performance in the 2021 Olympics, I know it's not the NBA, he won us a gold medal. Ask Greg Popovich, ask Devin Booker, ask the other guys there. He won us a gold medal. And in between getting to those finals and now, he tore his Achilles tendon. He is the biggest success story coming off an Achilles tendon in history. Now, I still to this day don't understand why he chose, with the menu of options that he had, I don't understand why he chose to go to Brooklyn with Kyrie. I thought it was a mistake. The day he did it, it ended up being a mistake. And I would love to know how he really feels sitting there in Phoenix this year where they've had a disappointing season, watching Kyrie over in Dallas play every game, be on his best behavior, be an absolutely picture-perfect cohort and teammate to Luka Doncic, and that team flying high. I wonder what he thinks about Kyrie playing that way in Dallas when that's what he could have been in Brooklyn, but that's all off the table. Right now, I don't think Durant needs anything in his career. I think if he doesn't play another game, and by the way, he's going to play for Team USA again this year and try to win a fourth gold medal. He is already the greatest Team USA performer in our history, and I think that should count on his resume because it's hard to win those Olympics. We don't give him credit for how hard it is and how great he was in that. That's, to me, two finals MVPs, regular season MVP, three-time gold medalist in the Olympics, where if there was an MVP of the Olympics, he would have won it. And so I think that's relevant. I also think that the Suns are out of position. They are not as good as they needed to be. They've made some decisions, and this trio hasn't played well together. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to win one series, much less three, but I'm not going to blame it all on Kevin Durant.
All right, well, listen, I disagree with you, Wendy. I lean with Stephen A. on this. And here's why.
Many people do.
Well, here's why. It's very rare when a player gets into, you know, their mid-30s, and you know, most of their career is behind them, and they're this great of a player. Usually by this time, a guy, they've clearly had the production, right? They've had all of the individual accolades you can have, and they've also won, which Durant has done. By the time you get to this point, you almost feel like, okay, there's nothing that anybody can do to bring this guy down a notch. He can only grab additional real estate in terms of how we view him historically. And when you talk about historically legacy, I'm talking about like 15, 20 years down the road when we look at Kevin Durant's career. Very rarely is a guy in that spot, like take LeBron, for instance. There's nothing that can happen to LeBron James going to drag him down. Nothing to Steph Curry that happens the rest of his career is going to reduce the way we view him 15, 20 years from now looking back on his career. I think KD's that rare guy that actually they lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves when he's got that kind of talent around him. those two guys and what that represents offensively and what you should be capable of doing, and you lose to a team with no collective winning experience in the playoffs in Minnesota, I know they're the three seed, they got Anthony Edwards, that team hasn't won anything in the postseason, and you get them in the first round and you get knocked out, I actually do think it's the kind of thing, not a lot, but I do think it's something that detractors can use against Kevin Durant if they don't win at least this round. Now, are they going to make a run at a title? No, there's multiple better teams than the Phoenix Suns. But this is a series. If you're Kevin Durant, you're expected to win this series. And that, for me, is why he can take a little bit of a hit on this. At the same time, he's got a lot of real estate to grab here, man. If he does go on a run, somehow, some way, they make a run out of the Western Conference into the finals.
Right.
Well, now Kevin Durant's grabbed some stuff. Because I've said it before, not every ring carries the same weight. I firmly believe that. And if he has an opportunity to do that here late in his career, he has a chance to go grab some stuff to cement all of that. So let's see how it plays out. But I tend to agree with Stephen A., man. I think this is an important series. This series is important to Kevin Durant.
Couple of things, Wendy, because obviously with your brilliant self talking basketball, you know, very few people, they might disagree with you, but they don't provide the proper perspective to show you the wrongness of your ways, okay? So let me try to do that with you right now this morning, Wendy. You know, greatness is what we're talking about here. We know Kevin Durant is great. There's nothing to talk about. Don't give me some stuff about the three Olympic gold medals. You know why I'm going to say that, Wendy? Because it's a given. We know how great he is. We expect, even in this day and age, with all the greatness emanating from Europe, we still have an expectation about the United States of America being the gold standard. So being an Olympian, it's like, listen, it's phenomenal, a phenomenal accomplishment. But the attitude is, you better not lose, as opposed to, we really, really appreciate you winning. Congratulations. Way to go. Like it's the gold medal game in the 1980s. That's not fair. I understand that. But that's reality. And you and I both know that because that's the expectation, particularly from people in the United States when they're watching Team USA play basketball. It's more of a story when they lose than when they win. When they win, ah, congratulations. We appreciate it. Whatever. But when you lose, oh my God, it's Armageddon. What the hell happened? You got to change things. You got to change coach. You got to change manager. You got to do everything. Something's wrong with this place. That's how you look at it. That's number one. Number two, when we're talking about Kevin Durant, remember, it's not just about his game. It's about the decisions that have contributed to him not elevating the shine that comes with his game. Because as a result of his decisions, he didn't necessarily, in one situation, you know what, he departs from Oklahoma City. The impression was it was Russell Westbrook that was the problem, as opposed to Sam Presti. Kevin Durant could have cleaned that up more demonstratively. He did not do so. He goes to Golden State. He's clearly the best player on the team. They don't win the titles without him. He's a two-time champion, two-time league MVP, two-time finals MVP. Absolutely deserve it. Said he left Oklahoma City because he just wanted to play the right way. They were playing the right way. He leaves. He leaves from a business perspective. Anybody and their grandmother will tell you one of the most disastrous decisions was deciding to go to Brooklyn instead of New York City with the Knicks. The brand itself and what it would have done for him from a business perspective, we all know it's night and day. So that was bad. Then it doesn't end up right on the basketball court. Not his fault. Not his fault. We know what a distraction Kyrie once was. Even though Kyrie has been phenomenal, if this Kyrie was in Brooklyn, they might have won the chip. But that's not what happened, okay? So then you go and you go back, you leave for Phoenix. Got Devin Booker, bro. You got Bradley Beal, bro. You know, you can't go home in the first round. And your last time you were in Brooklyn, you got swept by the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. What were we saying last year, Wendy? They were down 2-0 to Denver. And we were like, yo, they look like they about to get swept. And what was everybody saying? They were like, oh, damn, Kevin Durant going to get swept again? That's what the question was. And then him and Booker came out and Booker went berserk, okay? We got to look at that. These are not things that get talked about in that way about all-time greats. He has to make sure he's not one of those all-time greats that are being talked about in that way, even though we know he's an all-time great.
All right, Wendy, you get the final word here.
If you want to make the point that he hasn't maximized his career, that's a fair point. But I also think it's not fair to him to imply that he hasn't been absolutely brilliant. And he has.
He has been brilliant.
Oh, yeah. He has been brilliant. No doubt.
Brilliant.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Time for a quick take. Let's get it. The battle for the 8th seed in each conference goes down tonight. Two major stars missing for their teams. Jimmy Butler out due to an MCL injury as the Heat take on the Bulls, and Zion Williamson out with a hamstring injury as his Pelicans take on the Kings. Windy, which team without their star do you believe in more tonight? Would you say the Heat or the Pelicans?
Yeah, this is a bummer, Molly. I do think I like the Pelicans' chances better. First off, they're somehow 5-0 against the Kings this year. And even though they don't have Zion, they do have Brandon Ingram. They do have CJ McCollum. Both of them played poorly in the play-in earlier this week. I expect them to bounce back. The Heat are missing also Terry Rozier in this game. They have not been playing well recently. They've lost 3 or 4 tight games in a row. I like the Pelicans to be able to figure out a way to get this tonight more than the Heat.
You know, I'd like the Pelicans too, Wendy. If this dude Brandon Ingram shows up, I mean, my God.
You missed
12 games, and I get it, Brandon Ingram. But I'm just going to be kind about it. He just didn't look there the other night. He didn't look there, Wendy. He looked like he was just someplace else.
Could you
show up, please? You really, really need to show up.
He's also due a contract extension this offseason, and not that his play tonight's going to determine it, but obviously, if they're going to pay him big money, they need him to show up in games like this.
All right, let's keep it rolling, guys. A couple more NBA topics I want to get into. So for the third time in the last 5 years, the Warriors failed to make the playoffs. Lots of questions loom for the once mighty Big Three. Steph and Draymond locked in with contracts, but they could seek a trade for Draymond, who once again was obviously at the center of many distractions. Also, do they re-sign Klay Thompson, who wasn't the Klay we're used to, but will be a free agent this summer? Steve Kerr, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it rarely is it storybook, you know. I mean, even the 96 or 98 Bulls, you know, team was broken up and we won the championship in our last year, but there was a documentary about what a disaster the whole thing was. You guys might want to watch it. Yeah, it's impossible for this stuff to, you know, to end perfectly. I do think there is a lot of value, in, as I just said to Tim, and in, you know, our three guys being Warriors for life. I think there's a lot of value in ending with dignity.
All right, S.A., what's your reaction to what Steve Kerr just said?
I don't completely I'm not diametrically opposed to his points. I think that there is something to be said about guys, although they were getting paid, they weren't playing for free, showing up to work every day, committing themselves to an incredible level of excellence that ultimately reaped four championships and six NBA Finals appearances over an eight-year period. There's a lot to be said for that. And when you show that level of professionalism, that level of commitment, when you've never cheated the fans, when you've given them all you've had for so long, there is something to be said about making sure what he pointed to, the level of dignity that you showed them, if indeed they're on their way out the door. But let's define what dignity is, Wendy, Legs. I'm paying Klay Thompson $43 million. In 1 year. But now I might think he's worth about $23 million. Is that insulting? Is that robbing you of your dignity? I'm not sure about that. If, you know, you Draymond Green, we 28-15 and fifth best record in the West, or if not the league, since you came back from your suspension. We know how valuable you are, but you were suspended twice. And there's a legitimate argument that we can make that you know, we're not in the playoffs because of you. And there's a championship on the record that we lost because of a suspension of yours. And so I'm looking at that and I'm thinking about the money that I've paid you. And is it an attack against your dignity and integrity to ask you to do what you can to stay on the court so you can do what we pay you to do? There's nothing to talk about with Steph Curry. I mean, the epitome of perfection as far as I'm concerned. Only problem that I've ever had with Steph Curry in his entire career is that damn Good Times thing he just executive produced for animation, which is a story for another day. That's the only problem I have with that. I mean, I'm pretty pissed off about that one. But outside of that, his career is completely unblemished. When we talk about that, and here's the thing with Joe Lacob. You know, I'm going to come to the defense of Joe Lacob here. That man spent some money now. That man spent some money over the years. You know that better than most, Wendy. You know that too, Lex. The man has come out of pocket. What's it going to take for us to maintain a level of competitiveness and be in the championship equation? You can blame a lot of things. What you can't blame is his wallet, because he has come out of pocket, okay? And so when I look at it from that standpoint, Steve Kerr is right. In terms of what he articulated, his belief as it pertains to what that means had better align with Joe Lacob. Because when you have an owner like that, that is coming out of pocket and has repeatedly done so, triggering luxury taxes and everything else, highest, one of the top two highest payrolls in the league for years. And when he's doing that, he doesn't owe you anything. You kind of owe him. And that's what I'm saying. As long, again, Steve Kerr's words are right on point. But what they mean to him, are we sure they mean the same thing to Joe Lacob? If I got to pick a side here, I'm going to roll with Joe Lacob on this one, because his checkbook says he did his part. That's what I'm going to do.
Completely agree. I look, sometimes we want guys to get sort of this, you know, career achievement award type contract at the end, when it's not based on what you expect for future production. It's based on what you did for the organization. And I understand, like, sometimes that's going to play into it. You want to reward a guy that's been the epitome of everything you want a player to be in Klay Thompson. But at the same time, if you got Steph Curry sitting there looking like he's looking, it's incumbent upon you to try to stay competitive. You know, Steve Kerr referenced the Bulls breakup at the end. Here's a big difference. In that situation, everybody must go. In this situation, you've got Steph Curry sitting there, and we all expect him to finish his career in Golden State, and that'd be the only uniform he ever wears. Guess what? He's still playing at a championship level as a star player. The team isn't good enough. The parts around them, some of the guys you were counting on and have counted on all these years, they're not playing up to their career norms anymore. So it's just not enough around Curry, but you still have Curry. And that is what's different about this situation. It's a unique one. A lot of times teams go on a run that's lasted this long. When it comes to an end, it kind of comes to an end collectively for everyone. And you understand where then you're going to go as an organization. That's not the case here. And that's why this is going to be a very difficult thing for them to pull off. How do you reload or think about reloading when you still have Steph Curry here and you want to give him the best team possible around him? That is going to be a very difficult thing for the Warriors to navigate.
You know, the Warriors were in Chicago this year the night they honored those Bulls teams. They did it so Steve Kerr could be there. And he sat there. Steve Kerr was sitting out there at center court when Jerry Krause, who passed away and, you know, was a huge piece in building those Bulls championship teams, was booed. His memory was booed because of the way that ended. The Warriors all saw that. They knew it already, but they all saw it see it happen. And it was really a sad moment. And Steve acknowledged how sad of a moment it is. And subsequently, since that happened, Steve Kerr signed a 2-year contract extension. I think that's important. He didn't sign a 5-year extension. He signed a 2-year extension because he can see where this is going. It matches what Steph Curry has left on his contract. And so I think there's absolutely a number where Klay Thompson can be respected and remain a Warrior. They're not going to offer him $5 million. They're going to make him a real offer. He's going to be respected. And they have a pathway to reduce their payroll down to get Joe Lacob in a better place and to keep this team together and to keep it going. Are they a championship team right now? They are not. But they are a good team, and they have opportunity, and they love playing with each other still, and the fans out there love watching them. And the world across the world, they still love watching them. The real question, though, Stephen A., is with Joe Lacob, because the only way this team probably really gets better is if he's willing to keep spending. And it's not just about him, but the only way I see them being able to add to this team is if he's willing to take that Chris Paul contract and instead of cutting it and saying goodbye to the $30 million, but adding their young players and trading that for a big piece. I have no problem if he doesn't want to do that. I have no problem with what Mike Dunleavy, their general manager, said yesterday, which is that you can't have a $400 million team that's not making the playoffs. I get that. But that's where their choice is. And that's a Joe Lacob choice. Not only what to play Klay Thompson, but also what to do with that Chris Paul contract.
It's a real good point that you make, Green, Wendy. But here's the tricky part of what you just threw out there. You have to juxtapose that to asking yourself, do you just flow along when you still have a superstar in Steph Curry who's playing like a superstar? You don't waste away the moments that he provides. That is the one trick here where somebody stands up and they can point to respect. It's not because of what Steph Curry's done. It's because of what he's still doing. Unlike Klay, who, by the way, didn't have an awful year, inconsistent, but not awful. But unlike Klay, unlike Dre, Steph Curry has been the epitome of what we aspire superstars to be. Where's the drop-off? Where's the fading away? Where's the attrition? Where's the dissipation? When have we witnessed that with Steph Curry? I haven't. This brother is still sensational. And so when we look at it from that standpoint, and you know what he means to your organization, your franchise, and he's still capable of going out there and saying, if you put the pieces around me, hand me the ball, I can deliver the goods for you. That's something you have to take into consideration. Point number two, you brought up Chicago. Steve Kerr, he can't get away with that. And I'm not saying he's trying to. I'm just piggybacking off your point. When they booed Jerry Krause in Chicago, God rest his soul, understand why. Because in the midst of winning championships, even before, figuratively speaking, the last dance, their last season, Krause said, this is it. Under no circumstances are you coming back. I mean, damn. Of course, even though he's the architect and he put everything together, you basically told the fans, hell with y'all and what you're seeing and the fact that you're winning, I'm moving this in a different direction. Now, that's a reason to get booed, okay? And so we got to look at it from that standpoint. And when it comes down to Joe Lacob spending the money, okay, he might want to spend the money. He might elect not to, but it is his choice. Now, it's always the owner's choice, but it's rightfully his choice because of what he's done to commit himself to the success that the team has enjoyed. Because Steve Kerr didn't win when Steph Curry was injured. Steve Kerr didn't win when Draymond got suspended. Steve Kerr didn't win when Klay Thompson was inconsistent, which means it's the players.
We gotta
you got to understand that.
There's a lot more meat on the bone here. This topic's not going away. And obviously, sometimes you got to trade guys away a year too early rather than a year too late.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Jerry Jones said that he was, quote, all in on the 2024 season, but some of his most notable stars are nearing the end of their current deals, including Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, as well as DeMarcus Lawrence. As the draft is less than a week away in a strong quarterback class, we bring in Mike T and Dominique Foxworth for this.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey, hey.
What's happening?
Nick and I got the memo.
What's up?
We got the green and the beige. We're working it. Mike, tell me this. Is this the time that Jerry should draft Dak's replacement and get ahead of it?
Absolutely, Bolly. And here's why. I love Dak Prescott, second in MVP, and I feel like every week we were defending how good he was playing. But when his extension is going to be somewhere between $55 and $60 million a year, and let's just say they start at 24. Last year, that was about $3.3 million a year in terms of what Deontay Banks got. Now, all of a sudden, if you could have someone like Michael Penix, who to me has a chance to be a star, assuming he can stay healthy, I don't think Dak Prescott is $55, $56 million a year per year better than someone like Michael Penix. Think about CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, all the other things that you can do. So if Dak Prescott graduates in a year, and next year he gets somewhere between 55 and 60. Michael Penix has sat for a year. He takes the reins over, and now you have enormous amount of salary cap flexibility. Again, do I think Dak's better than Penix? Yes. I just don't think he's $55 million a year better.
Well, this goes back to the original statement that we started this block with Jerry Jones saying he's all in. Like, if you're all in, drafting a first-round quarterback is absolutely not an all-in move that you would make. That's a move that you're making if you're building for the future. If we all, I think we all agree that this team is close, they're, if nothing else, like maybe they won't never get over the hump, and I'm sure that would make Stephen A. very happy, but they are close. And if you are at the end of the first round, you can add difference makers. So go ahead and add a difference maker. They need help on the offensive line. They need help with their linebackers. They could use some run stuffing help. There's a lot of things that this team could use, and they already traded away their fourth round pick to get Trey Lance at a kind of a hope that maybe he could be the transition. And when they drafted Dak, he was in the fourth round. So if you want to draft someone in the fifth, sixth, use one of the two seventh round picks you have on a quarterback that you think is promising, unless there's some crazy situation where one of these top two quarterbacks fall to deep in the draft, which will remind me of like Lamar Jackson as when the Ravens traded up to get him. Unless something outrageous like that happens, which I don't imagine it will, it'd be silly to use your first round pick on a quarterback for a team in the future that is uncertain, that you cannot assure will be as competitive as this team is now, and it makes you less likely to win a championship this year.
Dom, I get where you're coming from, man, and I'm inclined to agree with you, but here's what I can't escape. I can't escape the fact that the Dallas Cowboys haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round since Troy Aikman. Where's that gotten them? I'm just looking at it from that standpoint. And so I'm saying to myself, look, I've just got the names right here. Ben DiNucci, Mike White, of course Prescott, Stephen McGee, Quincy Carter, who was 16 and 15 as a starter for Dallas, and Bill Musgrave. Those are the quarterbacks that you've drafted since you drafted Troy Aikman. No wonder why you haven't won a damn thing. You got to take that into consideration as well. I totally agree with you in terms of what you were saying, the needs that they have. I totally agree. Let me add something else, Dom. Why the hell didn't you go out and get Derrick Henry? I mean, that's somebody. I mean, you talk about a bell cow at the running back spot. You going to let him get away? You got an opportunity to get somebody like him to take some of the pressure off of Dak Prescott so Dak Prescott isn't asked to drop back to pass and be a savior we've, at least thus far, has seen he can't be. Why would you do that? I don't understand Dallas on that one. I don't get it, but I understand where you're coming from. They got a plethora of needs. Offensive line, definitely. Running back, definitely. Linebacker, definitely. I get all of that. But in the same breath, the money that he's going to cost, the cap hit, even with him adjusting his salary to lessen the hit, it's at $55.4 million. It's the second highest in the league under Deshaun Watson. You take all of those things into consideration, what he's costing me, what he's prohibiting me from going, being able to go out and get because I'm stuck with his number. I got to look at Mr. Yeah. CIA himself, Mike T, and say, you know what, he has a damn good point. If it's going to cost you that much to keep this guy, maybe, yeah, just maybe, I need to be thinking about the future while I'm trying to win that.
And I agree with you guys. Like, they need some other pieces. Like, Derrick Henry would have been a smart pickup, but you could find a running back, certainly in this draft, second or third round. You certainly need another linebacker. But, guys, I know we're supposed to be all in this year, but what's worse next year is Dak can't be franchised. So let's say he graduates. Hey, I want to leave. I want to go someplace else. You know, I've had enough of the noise. Now, look, I think if they had felt better about Trey Lance, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But you don't want to go into next spring not having any answers at the quarterback position. And that's why, to me, if you're sitting there at 24 and you could get Michael Penix, who, if he was healthy, would be a top five pick, take Michael Penix. It may be the best decision you make for the next 10 years.
So this, like, reminds me of the Warriors, honestly, in that you guys are trying to do this two tracks at the same time thing, which has never worked in any sport at any time. It's really hard to win a championship. So you cannot develop a bunch of guys. Trade away those young draft picks. Trade away those promising young players to bring in veterans that can help you win now. And I think that's the same thing with the Cowboys are in the situation now. I think you could obviously be critical of a lot of decisions that they made, players that they haven't picked up. But the reason they haven't drafted quarterbacks in the first round is because they've had back-to-back two really good quarterbacks, neither of which were drafted in the first round. The point isn't to draft quarterbacks high. The point is to find quarterbacks that have success and support them in a way that they can reach the highest level, which is win a championship. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe they should start transitioning for the future. That's fine. But we have to acknowledge the decision that you're making is lowering the probability of winning a championship this year. I don't know by how many percentage points, but getting a quarterback that you expect to take over next year or the year after that is not getting players that could help you win now. And I've never seen anybody win now while they're also trying to win for the future.
Mm. All right.
I mean, we could take Michael Penix in New York, but that's a subject we'll get into a little bit later, what the Giants need to do.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.